Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's getting dark. You're getting in your car. You know what that means? Just because it's a holiday week, is everybody getting in their car right now, or did everybody take the week off? That's the other question.
I think it's the week off.
Or are you already traveling right now to Thanksgiving? I don't even know. When's it going to get busy? When am I going to get effed with the traffic?
Tomorrow.
People travel to... No, Tuesday's the new Wednesday.
Tuesday's the new Wednesday.
So 2 days before Thanksgiving is the day, huh?
Yeah. Right? Here we are slaving away. We'll be back tomorrow working 2 to 6. Mm-hmm. We don't take a holiday here in radio.
It's a thankless job here at EEI.
It's like digging ditches doing radio here in WEEI.
That's what they say.
It is 5:05:01, Stiz. Time for the drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
So the story of the day, the Red Sox traded for veteran right-hander Sonny Gray. They sent Richard Fitz and Brandon Clark, a prospect who some people had as a top five prospect, number five overall. Others said he had fallen down, hadn't had a great year, and wasn't as highly rated. But send those guys for Sonny Gray. The Cardinals are also sending $20 million to Boston to pay part of a big chunk of Sonny Gray's salary. Before we get into our analysis, Bradfoe, our guy Rob Bradford, host of Baseball Isn't Boring, was on with Jones and Keefe with some instant analysis of this deal.
And so what do you make of the trade?
Is this the guy that Craig Breslow was talking about, the GM meetings, to walk side by side, hand in hand with Garrett Crochet at the top of the rotation? He's not. I mean, that's not where Sonny Gray is at this point in his career. But I think ultimately what you have to look at this trade like, hey, good for them. I don't think they gave up guys who are really going to hurt you down the road. And even if you do, so what? So what? Don't you want to win now? And this helps you win now.
So as of yesterday, Brandon Clark was not in Baseball America's top 10 prospects for the Red Sox. So whatever you think of him, it's more about Sonny Gray. Ted Johnson, Fitzy, and I went back and forth on this. He's a little bit down on the move. I'm a little bit higher on the move. How do you like the move, and where does it fit into the offseason?
I'll tell you right now, I'm okay with it. So right now, I'm okay with it. Ask me, and you rightfully pointing this out, ask me right before the start of training camp what I think of this deal, because that's – we referenced back to this time last year. I don't know if it was exactly this time, but around this time, Aroldis Chapman was signed.
Yep.
And a lot of people thought that was a bad move. Turns out that was a genius move at the time. And so I kind of feel the same way about Sonny Gray, Fitzy. I'm just right now. But tell me how the rest of the team looks at the start of camp. My guess is the Red Sox think that you bring him in, we can turn his career around, kind of like Aroldis Chapman, and he'll be fine. Nothing to worry about. But right now, I'm okay with it, Fitzy. What say you?
I see why you lean back on the comp of Aroldis Chapman, but one of my primary, if not the primary concern I have for Sonny Gray is exactly what Aroldis Chapman was able to do, and that's pitch under a microscope, pitch in the biggest stage, pitch in a huge market, pitch under the spotlight. He succeeded for the Cubs in helping them end their 105-year drought by getting by pitching in the World Series against the Indians at the time, the Guardians, whatever, who cares. He pitched for the Yankees as well. He was used to the biggest stage. Sonny Gray has not been good in the American League with the New York Yankees and or when he's pitched against the Red Sox, and especially when he's pitched at Yankee Stadium. 36, obviously, you know, high strikeout to walk rate, dependable, 180 innings. Great. If you want to make him a back end of the rotation, veteran presence, terrific. If he's a two or a three and you're leaning on him for that much to pair up with Crochet on the revamped Red Sox 2026, I think it's a big ask, and that's why I don't love it.
So time will tell where exactly Sonny Gray fits in the rotation. Yes, Dan Ball?
Numbers for you, fellas. At the new Yankee Stadium, Yankee Stadium 3, yeah. Highest ERA for a pitcher at Yankee Stadium, minimum of 100 innings pitched. Congratulations to at 6.06,
ooh,
Sonny Gray.
Just don't pitch him in New York.
Right.
Can we do that? Can
don't
we work
pitch
around
him in New York?
That?
Also,
no
I said it.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. Nailed it.
Yeah, no problem.
I said earlier, in my dream scenario, he's your fourth starter, so he might not pitch in the wild card series if you're playing in the wild card series, right?
Excellent point.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll get my 32 regular season starts out of him, and then maybe he's a bit player, long reliever,
this
whatever.
This is Heim Bloom's revenge. He's sending a sleeper cell from St. Louis to get back at us.
That does make me a little nervous, really. I mean, I know you know Heim Bloom, but do you trust Heim Bloom?
No,
that's the
I don't
question.
Like him.
Why would
I don't
he
want to
do
him?
Any favors for the Red Sox? They made a move to Newton, and then they cut his legs out from under.
I don't think he's
in
doing a
pandemic.
Favor. I mean, think they're in a different point.
They are
in their
paying $20 million of salary,
but he's just getting rid of the veteran guy, the money, the whole thing. Like they're much earlier in their development. Yeah. They're the Sox from back when Heim Bloom was here. Practically, they're building prospects. They're getting they're in a different time in their development. Let's go to the phone lines. As I said, Steve's been hanging on for a while to talk about this Sonny Gray trade. Steve in Springfield, what's up, Steve?
Hi, guys. Just from listening to you these past few minutes here, it sounds like that I'm in agreement with you. What I was going to say is that if they're counting on him to be like a number four starter, I think it's a decent move. But if they're counting on him to be their number two guy, it's not a good move at all. I look most – when I try and evaluate starting pitchers, the biggest thing I look at is ERA because I think that's tells you their pitcher – a starter as far especially a starting pitcher's effectiveness. And his ERA last year was 4.28. And I don't think that's great. So, but for a back-end guy, 4 or 5, you know, if he eats some innings and everything, that's okay. But
thanks for the call,
well
Steve.
Well put, Steve.
Because he will eat some innings. I don't want to jinx him, but, I mean, he's a guy that's going to give you 180 innings. He started 32 games two of the last 3 years. The down year was 28 starts. So he's going to give you 30 starts, right? Five-man rotation, basically, that's, you know, every every fifth day he goes out there, gets you to 150 or 160 games. He's one of those 30-chunk guys. I don't, like, what are people expecting? Like, if he goes out there and gives you a mid-threes to high-threes ERA fitsy over the course of 30 starts and gives you 180 innings and gives
15 and 9.
Like, I think that's a home run. I think that's a win.
Yeah. That's great.
Right?
As long as he's not the number two starter.
Yeah, if he's the number two starter, I'll be bitching come April.
Can we just real quick, the number two starter for the Red Sox last year, let's just look at the most important start of any number two starter would be in the playoffs, right?
Correct.
So how did Brian Bello do in his start against the Yankees in their second game in the playoffs? How do you do, Fitzy? Do you remember?
That's called the phrase is spitting the bit.
Is it pooping in the pants?
Yes, that is also eligible.
Two and a quarter or two and a third, I should say, two and a quarter. Four hits, two earned runs, and he was yanked.
Yeah.
So we need. So if he's in that role next year, we got problems.
So that's why I keep comparing. Like, is Sonny Gray Lucas Giolito? Is he just replacing Giolito, who at times was great? Remember that
mid-stretch? Except September.
Except September.
Our two and three starters in September, not so good.
Spit the bit or did whatever else you
said?
Poop in the pants. 100%. Can he stay healthy? Can he replace that? Can he just be a part of the season-long success of the pitching staff? And then when you get to the postseason, you know, hopefully we're leaning on Crochet and Ryan. Or Scooble and Crochet, or whatever else you did. Whatever, let's get greedy.
Let's get crazy.
So, I mean, the only thing that worries me about this, though, I will say, is I'm Fitzy kind of pushing back on you saying he's your number four starter. Mm-hmm. Didn't the GM just say they weren't pursuing fours and fives, they were pursuing twos?
So does he consider this a two?
He said that they're set from number 3 to number 10 with the implication that you also have a number 1. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
That worries me.
The one thing I'm holding on to is that, okay, so what are you going to – what are the Twins asking for Joe Ryan? What is somebody asking for a bat? Is this the first of an immediate – I'm sending Peyton Tolley and Connelly Early out the door for something that's an impact pitcher?
Trust the process.
Okay, Brezbot.
I'm trying
all right,
my best.
We're trying, but that does concern me because his words said he was setting up to go get a two, and the first thing he does after those words a couple weeks later is bring in Sonny Gray. Does that mean in his mind this is a two? I hope not. Getting to the Patriots, we talked to our buddy Mark Schlereth, as we do each and every Tuesday at 2:30, and there was something that I think bothered a lot of Patriots fans. It bothered certainly Fitzy and I. The goal-to-go issues against the Bengals, 6 tries in the third quarter from the 1-yard line. You couldn't get in the end zone. Mm-hmm. I think Bill Parcells would hate it. Old-school football coaches would hate it. And I don't think Mark Schlereth loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, obviously. And it is one of those things where, you know, sometimes you give your guys an opportunity and say, hey, man, we're gonna lean on you guys. You guys got to go out and win these battles. And, you know, and as a player, I always wanted that. I wanted that opportunity. I wanted to prove that that you know we could run the ball when you have to run the ball. And it's one of the things I always say about the red zone and everything else is running the ball is not, you know, popping a 14-yard run on 3rd down and 7. Mm-hmm. You know, like, hey, we ran a draw, and next thing you know, you compile 145 yards rushing, but you really had 2 breakout runs. The rest of the time, you were garbage. Running the ball is when everybody and their brother's uncle knows you're going to run it. Everybody in the stadium, the defense knows it. You know it. Everybody in the stadium knows it. And you still can churn out a first down. You still can churn out 4 yards. You still can pop one over the goal line. That's when you know you're good. So, you know, it's one of those failures you go back and you look at and say, what can we do better? But it is disappointing, no question about it.
I love that answer.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. The only thing I would add on is you got to run the ball when everybody knows, and your brother's uncle and your uncle's sister and your brother's best friends, and keep going. And he's absolutely right. It's this team.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Is 53% on 2nd and 1 and 3rd and 1 opportunities. So 53%, that's the worst in the NFL. Think about that. To get 1 yard.
Right.
They are, believe it or not, in those instances, Minus 4 yards in those instances. And they have like 30, 35 combined 2nd and 1, 3rd and 1 opportunities.
Good sampling.
-4 yards.
So, Fitzy, you know what this made me think of is the various times we've argued about the tush push. One of the arguments from Philly is like, it's not really fair. All they need to get is 9 yards on the first 3 downs, because if they get to a 1 yard play, they're just going to run the tush push and it's automatic. The Patriots are the opposite end of automatic. They need to get the 10 yards, because if they only get the 9, they actually can't get that last yard. And do you agree with that sort of masculine mentality, Fitzy? Does this say something about this football team that they have all these opportunities to get a yard?
They couldn't do it, so it proves what kind of team they are.
Nah, first they ran the single worst version of the tush push I've ever seen.
It's so
in my
true.
Life.
He just it did was, a nosedive.
It's not the, so, it wasn't it was the tush so push. Bad. It was just the tush.
Yes.
Without the push,
there was yeah, a lot was, of tush.
Yeah, I think somebody texted me yesterday, Lush and they called it the Mayflower, and it was terrible.
It was awful.
I like that.
And Drake was offended. Like he was ashamed of the effort.
Oh no, he was.
Including
he should have been as ashamed of that as he should have been his airmailed passes in the first quarter in that pick.
He's sitting there going, "Why is anybody touching my booty right now?"
Right. Somebody push me. Hey guys, it's called a tush. Push.
Sorry,
but it is. But I hate to say it, but it is football, and while that doesn't necessarily speak to what kind of team you are or get into the machismo toxic culture of football or sports in general, no, you just need to be on your game. Like Ted will be the first one to tell you. If you're off your blocks, if you have bad technique and poor form, you're not going to be able to execute something as simple as a good old wham block or just finding a way to get that extra yard. Like, it's a game of inches, for God's sakes. How many other cliches can I dip into mm-hmm. Uncle Fitzy's bag of cliches to regurgitate here? You have to be able to get a freaking yard. Vrabel said as much, and if you have six friggin' tries and you can't do it, y'all better need to go back to the drawing board.
How many inches are in a yard? So it's a game of 36 inches. It's a game of 36 inches.
Yeah.
Can we get 36 inches?
No is the answer. I'm just using the results that we've had.
Real quick, do you guys want to hear what happened on that 4th-and-1 play?
Sure.
On the goal line, the one that ultimately turned over on downs?
Yes.
No, that's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. So what happened on that play, the 4th-and-1 play, was they were in shotgun, okay? You had offset back to the right. You had a blitz from the cornerback, the safety, on the left.
Mm-hmm.
So there was 7 guys in the box, only 6 blockers, or 5 blockers. So you had 5 offensive linemen and then 7 guys in the box. So you're outnumbered. But they were blitzing off the edge, so she should be able to hit something up the middle. Well, they not only did they blitz, they crashed the end to that was on the blitzing side. So Will Campbell got driven back into the backfield. Sorry, Will. The blitzer was basically almost there when the ball was handed off. And then Morgan Moses on the right side forgot to block his guy off the edge. So you had 3 guys that were in the backfield, right in your hand, the ball off when Ramondre Stevenson got the ball. And so you talk about a guy here, a guy there. Well, it was 2 guys really doing bad jobs at their blocks, and then 1 guy free off the edge, and it just looked terrible. They had no shot at that play.
Yeah. It's like when they say a quarterback threw into a team meeting for an interception. They ran into a team meeting in the backfield.
That's it.
Let's work in some phone calls, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Chris in New Hampshire. What's up, Chris?
Hey, I just got a couple quick things about the Patriots. First of all, I can't believe no one's talking about if we win the next 2 games, we lock up the division with 3 games to play. And I feel, and then somewhat I feel Vrabel's getting a little too cute with the final 2 minutes of the half. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, he's just going to sit there and he's going to say, "Really, guys? Do you see how many points we score in the 2-minute drill?"
Okay.
But he
criticizes his players, right? Like, you could play a good game and have 15 tackles. Yeah. If you miss 3, he's going to tell you what you did wrong on those.
You like that, huh?
Why don't you criticize him? I don't want to be the one criticizing.
Okay, so can I also add another name? No, can I add another?
Yeah, by all means.
Isn't Stretch involved in this? If we're going to say Stretch is a genius when everything is great and works and looks cool and is cute and... Isn't he part of the headset?
No, he's the main. And just so people know, so the Patriots are 2nd in the NFL in scoring points in the 2-minute drive right before half, so why are we criticizing him? It just feels like they're on borrowed time with that.
Yes.
That feels a little risky to me.
You have the one play where they got lucky that there was a nice home clock operator that gave you 1 Golly. Second left.
It was in Buffalo, though.
Right.
The home right. clock guy was maybe from Boston.
Something was weird there. Then you had the didn't try to score early in downs and then got away with one of the best throws and catches maybe you've seen all year.
Yeah, the
from
kneel
Drake
down
May.
That wasn't a kneel down.
Right. Yeah, like all of these things are, you know, execution at a critical point in the game. And I think Mike Vrabel's been awesome. But again, treat the coach like you would a player. The coach is going to criticize a player if he has bad plays, even if those were mixed into a bunch of good plays.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel's done a million great things, but the too cute, the time management, the issues at the end, like those are something. Get better at those so we don't have to do a full show on it in January when you lose a game because
and
of it.
And the other point, Chris, sorry, no one's talking about wrapping up the division because we got our sets our goals set higher than that.
I kind of gave up on the division. Like, I thought you were going to win the division like 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Now I want the number one seed.
That's it.
Tell me when you clinch the number one seed.
There you go.
10-2! 10-2, baby. Let's squeeze in another quick phone call. Kevin in Quincy has a question for Ted. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
Good, man.
Ted, you were talking about buys and mini buys. In 2001, you guys only had 1 week between the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, because of 9/11.
That's right.
Did that help you or did that hurt you?
I think that
helped.
Thanks
for the call, Kevin.
I think that helped us. Boy, I think in that situation it helped us.
Why?
Because we'd already played the team. So if whoever the Patriots play in the Super Bowl, if there's only 1 week, hopefully you've already played them.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps that you've already played a team in the regular season. So when you play them in the Super Bowl, you're better prepared. But there is something to say about being in a rhythm, just, you know, not having to take time off. You just kind of get in this flow. And I think having a couple days off, it was a mini bye, I think maybe threw off their energy a little bit, and they weren't as sharp in this last game.
Didn't it almost hurt you guys, though, because of Brady's ankle?
Didn't hurt him on that last drive, buddy.
Sure it did. That's right. Take that, John Madden.
There you go, Bubba.
It just allowed everybody to have a little fun with some Bledsoe versus Brady for one last time in New England. Finally, here in the drive, we talk to Brian Hoyer, as we do each and every Tuesday. And there's a lot of talk about who needs to step up with the offensive line. Injuries, no Will Campbell. Well, Brian Hoyer had an interesting answer regarding the offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels.
This is where you're thankful you have an experienced offensive coordinator who can be creative with the game plan moving forward. Because let's just say, for instance, you know, the Patriots did what a lot of people wanted. Let's go get a young, hot name that's from the West Coast system. And that could have been great. But now you're into the point in the season where guys are getting injured, and Josh has done this so many times before and has the experience of figuring out how to navigate around injuries or maybe where you could be a little shorthanded. And so having a coordinator with that experience and realizing I'm not just going to go call plays next Monday night against this defense with some of our guys down, I have to be very mindful of how I put the game plan together and how I call the game on Monday night. And so that's where you got to be thankful that you have an experienced guy who's been through the fire in a lot of different situations. And Ted, as you would know, like,
I mean, as I would know, Brian, of course,
you know, who should know, but maybe doesn't know. It was Scheim listening to that answer, I hope?
I don't know.
Can you check in with him
on Sunday and see if he's listening?
Because I believe Schlereth and Hoyer both talked about the importance of Josh McDaniels.
I feel
having...
like it's too easy to just beat up on Scheim with that. It's just kind of, at this point, it's just not even, it's just gratuitous.
All right, that's going to do it for the drive on this Tuesday. Up next, Ted, I think, is going to have a little fun because we have lawsuits, we have family infighting, we have losses.
I find no joy out of this at all.
We'll see. Up next, we check in with what's going on with Bill Belichick, his girlfriend, his daughter-in-law, and all that is the soap opera that is his life, and reports of a potential return to the NFL. Oh, do you say? That's next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, we have Dan Ball for the final time with what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season.
from Crimes of the Paranormal, Unsolved Murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.